I lived in Merced, which is in the San Joaquin Valley, and we had, I think of my son starting public school in kindergarten, and out of the 33 kids in his class, there were three that spoke English. And it wasn't just one language in the schools. It was a large Hispanic population, but also Hmong, Mien. I have that perspective. And then moving to Spokane, which is just like another planet.
Oh, it's good then.
And teaching seventh grade reading and arts.
It's interesting. I teach in an virtually all-white school district, and 20 miles away where my wife teaches, there are kids from 40 different countries. And it's 30% black, 30% Asian, and 30% white, one-third. So
you don't keep that in Spokane. Mm-hmm. We welcome it and we encourage it, but it is a totally different thing. Also, you were mentioning parent participation, and within our school district, which is a big school district, my children are in elementary school, and they're in a parent participation program, which is really wonderful and just an incredible experience, and that's through the public schools. And if people are interested in that, I would really strongly recommend people doing that within their own districts, because I never knew until I moved to Spokane that a group of parents could get together and say, we want to really be a part of our kids' program, and that, you know, if it didn't cost any more money, that the school districts a lot of times will let parents kind of start their own program within the school district. Mm-hmm. You
know? So. Interesting.
I'm Sonia Myers, and we have three children, 15, 12, and 9, who are in the public school system, and we're very pleased with it. We have, you know, had great experiences, and I was talking with somebody earlier about one of the things that our teachers had instigated a couple of years ago were conferences at the beginning of the school year before anything got going. And for instance, that was one real bright spot in our younger child's life, because he's one of those, should he start kindergarten now, should he not start kindergarten now? And that's been an issue every year. He's just kind of in the middle there. And it's really helped for us to have a connection with the teacher early on. I was also in the school system as a public school nurse for 4 years. So I really enjoy having had that experience as a nurse before I was a parent in the schools. So I have a sense of how I can work within the school system. And I'm a nursing professional. I should be able to do this. But you come in as an outsider, really, to public education, and you don't know how to advocate or mm-hmm. how to be there or what you can ask for unless you've had some experience. So I think that I support parents being involved, but parents have to know how they can be involved, and a lot of parents don't have a good sense of what they can ask for or what they can think that could happen. So we can talk about that a little bit. And how I look to teachers as the professionals who can guide me through that.
I'm Jenny Chose from Beaverton Schools, Portland area, and
Oregon.
Oregon.
From Minnesota, so
yes. And with all the professionals we work with, what we find is that even if you're a professional and you come in as a parent, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
We have an 8-year-old who's going into third grade. Our kids are both adopted, and she's doing great and terrific, and we have a 16-year-old who's a fetal alcohol child that we've advocated for and sought help for from the beginning. Since he was 3, he's been in school, and sometimes get help, sometimes don't. Started in the Anchorage, Alaska school district, where they have lots of oil money and lots of great programs, and so when we went down to Oregon, it was kind of like a brick wall. But have had crises and have threatened to sue the school district, and with just cause, not just as rabble rousers, and have gotten a lot of cooperation from them ever since. because they knew how out of compliance with federal law they were when outsiders looked at it, and had to learn how to go outside the building and take things to higher levels when we hadn't had to before.
You may want to mention that Oregon has a similar measure that five in Oregon, right?
And another village passed this last year.
It's horrible.
Just when we arrived in Oregon, about 1989, they had just changed from local funding, where Beaverton had always highly funded their schools, and when we had to move in an emergency situation, we didn't exactly know where to go in the metro area, but I've gone to the University of Idaho and said, everyone wanted their student teaching, let's go to Beaverton. That at least narrowed it down when we didn't know where to go. But they changed to state funding, and Beaverton got slighted terribly. And this is the first year now that they're getting back some of the money. Everybody was underfunded, but we were like $500 per student below the average. And so it was pretty severe.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, a lot of school is a bureaucracy like any other bureaucracy, and a lot of teachers don't know how to go through the whole system. Mm-hmm. If we have a referral for a special ed student in our building, I tend to do those for my team just because I've done them for years. I know the personalities, I know the quirks. I slid two kids into the system this year that they both needed help. And when a kid is getting referred for special ed, we have to take it in front of what's called the child study team. And it's the most imposing group in our building. People are scared to death to go to child study. I had two kids on the agenda one day. I've never had two kids at once before. I thought they were just going to crucify me in there. The day before the meeting, I completely lost my voice. I've never completely lost my voice before. When I went into the meeting, I'm talking like this the whole time. These people, and they're physically big. I mean, it's a huge room. I mean, they average about 300 pounds and about 6 foot 5.
I don't know. What's wrong with
Oh, this is a quirk in our school. And I've never seen this group sit there and listen so intently at a couple of proposals. And I got them both in the program.
It was divine intervention.
It was. It had to have been. Go ahead. I'll quit interrupting.
I'm Mary Arneson, and I've taught in the Olympia, Seattle area for 26 years. And I'm counting the days to retirement. And if anyone had told me I would do that, even a year ago, it's crazy. I've wanted to teach since I was 6 years old. But teaching is now such a minor part of what you do. And it just makes it real hard to enjoy the year. So I just wanted to hear it's interesting to hear the other people. I had a very bad year last year with a split class with kids that weren't reading and were BBD and special ed and, did things like dump their desk and tore up all their papers and every day.
How old were the kids?
Second and third graders. And all year long. And I couldn't touch them because you're not allowed to touch the kids. And so even holding them by a t-shirt to sit down was a no-no. So I had to call the psychologist and the principal in almost every day to help me with those kids. So I'm just curious. I'm just here to hear what other people say. I love teaching. I love kids learning, but a lot of kids don't want to learn anymore. There's no effort put in. They just come in and they want to go out to recess. They want to eat candy, they want to, play games. A lot of kids don't want to study at all, and that's new to me.
Hi. I'm a parent of one of those kids. I'm my child.
I'm Gretchen Bromariki. I'm from Fremont, Oregon, and I'm the one that's also the parent of three kids. All of probably who have needs in different directions, and so I have been pretty heavily involved over the years in trying to get services both for gifted program, which is not present in our school. I'm feeling very frustrated with that, watching the kids sort of spin their wheels. And then with our third child, trying to get services, which we've been eminently more successful in, because he's got problems that are so much more visible. And so we found that in many ways, if you've got a kid with a visible problem or a diagnosable problem in learning, they get a lot more services than kids who are good kids, smart kids, and they just throw those kids in the classroom and use them as ballast, you know? It's kind of like, sit there and behave. Okay? Make a problem for me because I got to deal with those kids. And that's very frustrating for me. I feel like the kids are not going anywhere. My kids are the only kids in my sibling group. In other words, all of their cousins go to private school. Half of their cousins on Dave's side go to private school. And we get this question, when are you going to send your kids to private school and get them out of there so they can learn something? And, you know, besides the fact that we don't have a lot of choices in private school, it's partly the principal thing. We can't all yank our kids out of public school because there's not going to be anything left. So we're sort of hanging in there, hoping for the best, and trying to be active participants in the process.
Great, thanks.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Octocook. The accent you hear is German. My last name is Alaskan. My husband is Alaskan. I went to a mixture of public and private school back in Barcelona. I mean, it was a German school. And now that I, when I got married, I transferred here to, initially was San Diego. My husband is an engineer with Hewlett Packard. So we have three children. We moved from California mainly. We transferred for Hewlett Packard to our division in Vancouver, Washington. And we were worried about some of the crime aspects in California, and there's a lot of young families who are just moving up to Vancouver, to our division there. My oldest is 9. She's going into fourth grade, and our middle child, Eric, he will be going to second, and our youngest is still in preschool. And I started getting involved in the school. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and started taking over some of the programs that the PTA offered, like kind of going into teaching little art lessons and in the classroom, and just helping out in the classrooms, and also tutoring children who had learning disabilities, or the children who were struggling. Taiwan program. And as I was doing that, I enjoyed the interaction with the children, and it also gives me kind of a picture of what's going on out there, what are my children, what's the environment my children are exposed to during the school year. I'm amazed, my third grader is dealing with issues I dealt with when I was 15. Mm-hmm. She came home one day with a story. School had just started. She came home and said, "Hey, Mama, is this appropriate if I say it now, or shall I save it for later?"
No, go ahead.
She came home and she said, "Mom, you know, Dana is using a lot of cussing words." I said, "Well, that must be really hard." And her mom calls her really mean words. And she mentions some of the words and says, "You know, that must be really hard if your own mom uses those words on you." And, "Yeah, Mom." And then she told me that she had sex with a boy, and then she had a baby, but she hid the baby. She put the baby in daycare because she didn't want her parents to know about it. And that's my, she was 8. That was the first. And it's a fairly nice. I mean, I would say it's a prospering area, but that we're in. But still, I thought, well, I better get ready here and. I was kind of shocked, but well, we just briefly talked about it and mentioned it briefly to the teacher, and she was surprised that Dana had said those things. But well, based on my experience with some of the Title I children, you learn to be kind of discreet about some of these issues, and you just deal with it and talk with your children about it. So so that was a little bit shocking, but I think this it's just. I don't know if it happens to you in your schools, but I guess children learn more earlier than they used to. So my husband and I, we do believe in the public school system. I'm really worried. One of you mentioned the funding and political aspect of the public school system. Personally, I can vote. I'm still a resident alien, but I realize that I can activate a lot of people just by informing and getting information out. So I've been doing that through some neighborhood work and some other community work I've been doing. And I ended up taking over the PTA for my children's school this upcoming year. So I thought maybe I can gain some strength in here. But what I hear from the parents, and that's also part of my concern, is yes, the funding and political aspect of schools. Some parents are very worried about inclusion. We are very worried, and I've seen that too as a help out in the classrooms, that I really want my children's teachers to teach my kids, mm-hmm. but there's just a few, I call them repeat offenders, and so that leads to discipline. A lot of parents are really worried about the way discipline is being applied, that not enough is being done, and my impression is that the teachers and school district hands are often tied. Mm-hmm. Another concern is, and even though, I mean, I'll be representing the parental voice, is I'm concerned about, in some aspects, the parents being listened too much and not always getting the opinion of the teachers. I personally rely on the professional opinion of the teachers. And
come to my school and you can be my parent helper.
there were a few incidents where volunteers got in trouble with mm-hmm. some of the difficult kids. And so that's another aspect of parents are very concerned about, that to the point that one mom is even looking into putting kids in private school because of the discipline problem. Mm-hmm. And she feels that there's too much emphasis being put on the badly behaving kids. Mm-hmm. And most kids behave well, but while so much energy goes into the badly behaving kids, that most of the other kids, they actually suffer under that. So that's another big.
And I have a new principal that says it's because of the way I teach that these kids are being that way, that they would all fall in and do the right thing if I slowed down and I did more hands-on and that we did things at a slower pace. And I'm not a slow pace person, so my personality has come into this.
But see, that's what that book's about. I've talked to my brother-in-law, and he's convinced that there's a movement in the school to bring everybody down to one sort of middle level.
And
that advice is exactly, he'd say, see, that's exactly what I think. You know, they take the slowest kids, they say, now bring my kids down to a level of those kids.
And that's the other big concern I hear too from parents, that we are dumbing down the kids. Mm-hmm. The other concern is accelerated pace learning kids. I mean, my daughter's doing very well. She's at an accelerated pace, and I was lucky. Her teacher actually adjusted different levels, and that personally, I believe, I like that system. I don't like it when they're being yanked out, when the top is being yanked out, and I believe in balance. But that's the other concern I hear from parents too. Is that, is there anything being done about enrichment? They're worried about too much attention being paid to the lower achieving kids, trying to get them up to the average. And I've seen it in Title I, there's incredible resources being put in there. And that's good, some of these kids really need it. But then you also have the average, which could be challenged a little bit more, and then the top achievers. So that, I see that, I hear that from parents, well, I hear that concern too.
I'd like to throw in here, because I want to say as a parent, for those of you who are teachers, that I, with the possible exception of my oldest son this last year, but at least in our school district's teachers grades 5 and down, I have been mostly excellent. I've been impressed by the professional aspect we're talking about here, you know, how well they know my child and what my child can do and can't do and how they've worked with that. But I feel so bad for parents for teachers looking from the outside about all the stuff you have to do in the classroom, which is a teaching.
Right.
And you get dinged for not doing the basics, right. But you're doing DARE, and you're doing, you know, hot breakfast, and you're doing all this sort of stuff, which a lot of it has some value, I don't know, but as a parent, I think you need to know if parents haven't told you, stand in awe of what you're supposed to be doing, because it's an impossible task in terms of teaching the kids. And then the attitudes they bring, we talked about too.
And then another aspect I'm very worried about is the Christian right and the way they're pounding on the schools. That's quite shocking to me. What scares me is I call it cubicle view mind. That really scares me because I think it can affect us.
You know, I have a confession to you. I ran into her on the trail the other day. I was out for a workout, and she was coming down, and she stopped and said, "I want to talk to you. I'm really involved in this thing on education."
But I said, "You know, you're on your time off."
No, no.
I realized. Okay.
No, and that was fine. But when I went running, but when I'm working out, my brain is active, and I try to ignore my body as much as I can. And I peg you as being. I hate to peg anybody, but I just thought, I bet she's from the Christian right. I just put you right in. If I would have So, my apologies.
Oh, gosh, no, I hope I don't get that impression.
No, and there was nothing that... The only thing I saw was a great enthusiasm, and part of why I'm interested in doing this is that the critics of public education are usually the ones with a great enthusiasm lately. And that was the one thing I could come up with, and I appreciated your enthusiasm, and I thought we were going to buck heads, perhaps. And to be honest, I think the Christian right has put the family values and the family issues on the agenda on the political scene. I think Clinton stole some of that from them, but I think that is an issue as well that we need to face. And there was one other person over here who had a hand up and hasn't.
Gee, am I supposed to?
Well, we're just kind of saying who we are, why we're here, if you're involved in the field or whatever.
Well, my title is, at this point, it's Information Technology Specialist. It changes every year. And so that's one of the problems I see for teachers, as well as myself, is there's always changes in curriculum or whatever, they get kind of worn down by all the changes as well as the extra things that teachers have to do. I was responding to your comment about kids being accelerated, and there are different terms for it, tracking or developmentally placed, and that has been a big issue in my school because it is an upper middle class school, and parents have been pulling their kids out to go to private schools. And so to prevent that, we started an all-day kindergarten, and not for all kids, but just for those that tested the highest. And this has been going on for quite a few years. So you get the lowest group having half a day kindergarten, and then when you get to first grade, it's the top middle, and all the way down to the bottom, and the poor teacher who gets to teach.
That's right.
And what I've seen through the years is those kids who are at the bottom know they're at the bottom.
Exactly.
And also the gap becomes a lot wider. So even though you're pulling kids out, you know, for different things, for math or whatever, the higher groups, I guess I've seen it being a lot more detrimental to pull them out totally.
Detrimental to who?
Probably to the kids at the bottom. The kids at the top, it's beneficial to.
I mean, I don't want to be insensitive to that, but I'm just wondering if it is beneficial for the kids who are able to work at a different pace.
I think it really is. But it's not beneficial to that lower, middle, lower. There's no sparks in those classrooms to get things going and discussions.
And all I'm trying to say with that is that it's bothersome to me to see that if in fact the schools say, well, the solution to that then is to not meet the needs of the upper kids. And that's where parents of the upper kids, I think, are saying is because it's detrimental to the lower kids, then you're not doing anything about it. You know, in terms of meeting needs of kids who are faster paced. I don't
But we don't have very many parents at the top end that are fighting for the kids like the ones at the lower end. The ones that have the kids with the special cases are the ones that do all the education on the children. They advocate for that child. and they are the greasy wheel. And some of them are good parents and want good for everyone, but a lot of them, as soon as their child's out there at school, that's gone, and they're up to the next school where the kid is. A lot of these kids will never be tax-paying people. Those middle kids and the middle low kids and the middle high kids are our tax-paying people. And if we gave them even an ounce of what we give the Title I people, and by the way, I was a Title I teacher for 15 years, so I know about working on those kids and getting them to read, which is a very exciting thing, but those kids beget other kids that are low, and I have now third generation of special ed kids in the school system now that I had when they were sixth graders. But if you gave that much time just to those middle kids, they would just bloom. And that's what I'm afraid of. I don't want those kids to get lost.
And I would be grateful if maybe, as we have some teachers here in the group that, I mean, as a parent, I mean, I have some of my own wishes of the way I think it would work. Again, I would want balance. I would want my kid to be pulled out to be in an extra class. But maybe what we need to maybe get some ideas as to how you as educators would be doing it. How can we challenge? Because it's a big topic at our school too. Yeah. I don't think it makes sense to cream off the.
We're being given some training now in terms of how to take a subject. It doesn't matter which one, insects or whatever, and how to make sure that each kid gets what they need with that theme, and that you can. Specify, individualize, and not have everybody doing the same thing all the time. I mean, that you can give, you know, the top kids projects and have it, you know, situated in a certain way, have the kids working together, have, you know, pretty basic film-like things for some kids that feel best with that. But we're getting more and more themes and ideas of how to, you know, subjects to teach where it's really, it goes all the way from the adult level down to a pretty basic primary level. I mean, I think that's going to be really the way of the future. It's pretty exciting. The other thing that you were saying about having to spend so much time with the kids that are, you know, causing problems, I know I'm working with fairly young kids that think that what I'm saying is the gospel truth, but I always say, you know, and I'm seeing more and more people do this, you know, I tell the children that they pay me a lot of money to do my job and that I'm not going to let one kid keep the rest of them from learning. And it's absolutely sacred that if one kid's keeping the rest from learning, get that kid's out. It's a different kind of thing. You always have to worry about the group mentality and what's happening with the group. And you can't let one kid spoil it. Just, you know, they're out of there.
But what I see sometimes is that, I mean, there was one incident of one kid that was almost every day was in the principal's office, and he was just sent to the principal's office and sit there. And some parents are saying, it's like, you know, nothing is happening there. It's no incentive for him not to go to the principal's office. And a volunteer got in trouble because he tended to kick and punch the kids on a regular basis. And so the volunteer was outside on duty on the playground. And she said, okay, so he acted up again and heard a kid say, okay, you go to the principal's office. He said, no, make me. I think he's a special ed kid. No, make me. So she ended up taking him by the arm and taking him to the office. So he said, I want to tell my parents. So, he made a big issue out of it, and the parents were upset, and I mean, it went all the way up to the school intendant, to the superintendent, just to inform him that there might be, I mean, if the parents call, so just you know what's going on, so the parents were very upset about the school, about someone at the school manhandling their kid. And some of us who have, let's say, good kids, and we said, you know, there's so much attention being paid to this case that we should not be intimidated.
Absolutely.
But we see that happening. So parents are saying, this something, you know. This
as a parent of both sides of that, it is tricky. And I'm not totally in favor of total inclusion. I think there are times when it really isn't the right thing to do. I see it particularly in my daughter's classroom because I'm more free to observe in there. And I rarely worked directly in David's classroom. I did outside accessory things because it didn't work with me in his room. But speaking in defense of special ed parents,
some of you might not know that these kids have only been guaranteed an education for 20 some years. And that's not a long time. And that law is up on reconsideration now whether or not they should be guaranteed an education. And if you're the parent who needs services, you're going to fight. And you can only work within the system. And if the system is inclusion, that's what you fight for, as opposed to staying home, where you've had this kid for 24 hours a day, enough years as it is. And often there aren't special schools. I mean, if there were a special private school that we could send our son to, we would have been doing it, and Beaverton would have been paying for it. But there wasn't. And sometimes, in addition, how do we say this? Some parents don't want to recognize the deficits their children have, and they won't go through a diagnostic process. We fought for our son's diagnoses because we knew that it would help us get information and know how to handle what was happening. It would help the teachers, it would help him in his own life, and it would get him access to the programs that he needed. There's a lot of denial among parents, and I can tell you the reason is it's a huge grief process. And whether it's an adopted child or whether it's blood kin, there's a huge grief process. And at age 16, I still go through that periodically with my son, as certain milestones are reached and not, like age 16, he's not going to drive. You know, we had to go through that. And it's a pain that recurs. And sometimes it comes very unexpectedly when you're not even realizing that is going to strike. But when there's denial, it's very hard for the schools to work with the families. And some of the kids, with our son, there are certain things you do with him and certain things you don't do with him. And if the parents aren't willing to listen and the teachers don't know how to handle particular things, like my son is, part of his diagnosis is Asperger's syndrome, which is a kind of autism. And you don't touch him. You don't go up and say, David, it's going to be okay. I mean, or you don't get close to him, which would be comforting to other children, or you don't use too many words. And so well-intentioned teachers who haven't recognized what the child has or is suffering from or whatever the right words are can make it worse without realizing it. You know, put him in the front of the room instead of the back, that kind of thing. And so it is tricky. I mean, I debate this with my family all the time because all the cousins are, you know, high-achieving, outstanding kids. And, you know, that, I mean, my sister is right there going, your kid's taking my kid's resources. You know, I mean, it's pretty hard when you have to debate it with your own family. But that's the way it is. But there is a reason why special ed parents can learn to advocate and do that. And at the same time, many of my friends have very high achieving kids, and I try to tell them the advocacy tips I've learned that would help them get the resources for their kids. And they're not interested in banding together and doing it in our school. And so all I can say is, I'm not giving up. If you don't want to fight, that's your choice. But it's a physically, emotionally draining thing to advocate for special ed, too.
There's one more comment here. Then we need to shift gears a little bit to plan the rest of the week here, because the bell's going to ring, everyone's going to salivate and be gone. So, thanks, Peter, for coming.
Just a quick comment. I think it takes a lot of resources away, but I think it contributes a lot. I've seen a lot of autistic children make breakthroughs, and it's just been real thrilling to see what they've done.
Well, those community resources dry up. Yeah. The kids have to be more productive because they're not going to be taken care of in ways they used to be.
And then also, I think the quote normal kids gain a lot too. I know my daughter has said, come home at dinner time, said, well, John did this today.
you know, and they watch the progress too. So I think it's beneficial for both.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I'm not giving the impression that I don't want special ed kids in my school system. Not in my kid's school. Not at all. My boy had in first grade, he had a fairly severely Down syndrome boy in the classroom, but he had a helper all the time at all times, and he didn't spend that much time. So no, I'm not against that. I just see that there is a lot of tension coming up, and I see just parents as they're making the comments, and I'm trying to get prepared now to kind of be the voice too, without jeopardizing my own opinion too. But I just see there is. It would be neat, maybe just, again, it helps just listening to your opinions or comments, because there's quite some tension at our school right now regarding this issue.
How do teachers, I know you're too bad, how do teachers I'd like to know how teachers feel about that issue, because I think in our school district now the rule is we'll meet every child's need wherever they are on the spectrum, where they're at within our single classroom setting. You know, so if there's a special needs child, there'll be special things there. If there's a panic child, then how do you teachers feel? Do you want that mix in your classroom? I mean, aside from the fact that it's hard sometimes, is that the way you guys want to do business?
I got a great answer for that.
Let's make it the topic.
Let's make it a topic.
That's exactly what I thought. If teachers could design a school a learning approach or a school system based on what they know from their practice and educational background, what would it be? And then what would you need to do it in terms of parent support and throw the smaller school board out of it?
You want me to win the Nobel Prize here or something, or what?
Yeah. You see, because I come from healthcare, where I don't have a school board to deal with. That was one of the most frustrating things for me in school nursing. You know, from that perspective, was I could do all of the professional things that I wanted to do, but it was really hard to bring that then to the public forum in terms of the school board. Not that I didn't value what they were doing. It was just, it seemed a dichotomy that the money and the education blend didn't happen a lot. And so if you just even throw them out of the mix and then figure out a way to bring them back in.
I have a model for that in my mind. I was trying to think how we can do this. I like this format of give and take. The next time I would have the chairs in a big circle.
Yeah.
I didn't really.
But
I thought
we tried
people,
to do that ourselves and people came in late.
Yeah. Well, I thought three people were going to be here too, so I figured we'd just put chairs up here. should we put a session in that direction? I would like it to be more mostly give and take in this kind of format. But focused, I can come up with something for that, which is probably different than what you're going to do in your seventh grade. And I mean, teachers, they're terrible to work with. I mean, they don't cooperate. Well, that's a different issue. Give me seventh graders anything.
Issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but they have to take so much crap. That's what I see. I mean, I hope the word is okay.
Crap doesn't bother me. I teach seventh grade now.
Yes, no.
The only one that bothered me a couple years ago was somebody, as a young person here, used the F word with the B word in front of it, referring to me. And it was difficult not to laugh in his face, but he's probably high at the time anyway. He was about to hit me, so I didn't laugh, but that's a different story. should we do one session in that direction then, talk about inclusion and mainstreaming and perhaps how some educators would like to deal? Because I do have a model that I'm attempting to do in my classroom right now in regard to that. I like the idea of an inclusive classroom. I've had some real good luck with some EBD kids. You're a saint, sir, 11 years, and
yes,
working with a lot of those kids. That's a high burnout thing to do.
I also like to know how many per students. If you had less kids and more help in your room, you could do anything. And then you have to have a dedicated teacher that is not going to sit on their butt, but is going to be moving around that room and doing everything they can to get those kids motivated.
See,
that's an issue too.
Small enough classroom
and enough help to do it in. Could you give a teacher, one teacher and 25 kids with all those problems, and you might get someone come in 20 minutes a day to help? It's, you know, it's hard.
See, and there's a corollary there between education and healthcare. We keep saying the same thing. If we had more nurses to give better care, we could do a better job. And what our management keeps saying is, you can't have more nurses. You have to do it with unlicensed assistant personnel. Mm-hmm. And so we are doing more and more in healthcare too, with less and less. Mm-hmm. And so how could you use unlicensed people to do some of the pieces that you need?
Does Minnesota, do you get school nurses? Do they fund school nurses?
It depends.
Yeah, there's a law that for every district with 1,000 or more students, they have to hire one licensed school nurse. But we have Bloomington is the largest district in Minnesota. I don't know how many thousands, someone has asked thousands of kids. They have one licensed school nurse, and then they hire a variety of other health assistants.
Yeah.
I don't get the money. It is very, very.
Because at our school, as the secretary and whoever, voluntary angel, sits in the health room.
Okay, we've got one topic for one session. We've got 5 minutes and we need one more session. I'm signed up for tomorrow afternoon and for Thursday morning. I could probably even squeeze something in Wednesday. I'm not scheduled for anything, and I'd have to talk to the master planners here. But let me get this one straight first. We're going to talk about inclusion, mainstreaming, and perhaps I'll try to come up with like a model of, in my mind, and I'm no expert here, folks. I'm a classroom teacher.
Why don't we have one of us on resources or ideas? Because a lot of the things people talk about, our school already does. Our school is one of these schools that's been one of the 21st century schools. So we've done a lot of that stuff. And I can give people a lot of ideas on how to get some of those things going. And I'm sure all of you might have some ideas, too, of things that have worked that might be a good...
Like a resource meeting of...
like peers that want to get involved, ways of doing that, and how to talk to teachers. Well, I wish I would have brought some of my stuff with me, because we have a lot of... I taught parents how to do conferences. I taught them how to get ready. You know, I sent them home a worksheet to do before they came back. And we have our conferences in September, our first one. We have our first information stuff in September. And we do goal setting with the kids and all that stuff. Now, it's, like I said, some of these kids, it, over their head, but you know, we try to get the parents to know we really care. But a lot of that stuff has been set up in other schools. I hate everyone reinventing the wheel every time we get an idea. I think with the internet, we all have email addresses. We need, if we could share those, and then when something comes up, we can send them to each other or support each other. I think teachers need a lot more support than they're getting. And if they're not going to get it from the people above, they're going to have to get it from their peers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And learning how to give yourself that. I think her nurturing class is one you should take to help you learn.
I want to put in a vote for that as well.
Learn to nurture yourself as well as the people around you so that it will be a better year for everyone next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so resources for parents and how to deal with teachers, how to deal with the system.
Ideas for advocacy.
And pardon?
Ideas for advocacy.
Yeah, help you do what you need to do.
Is there anything else? That's two, and that's all they've got scheduled for me. But like I say, I can...
I have a feeling we'll wander. We'll get to what we need to be.
I can.
Are there forums scheduled?
I wasn't at the teaching staff meeting last week because I was doing a session. I think there's one forum on education, but I don't know what.
You also said you had some stuff.
I think they're thinking you're in it.
Oh!
I mean, that was my perception.
I'll check with the program.
You probably might want to check with that. And then that could be one of these.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, you said you had some resources you have from this Minnesota
Search Institute.
Search Institute. I would not mind spending some time. I have right here somewhere.
I did a lot of next up on the computers, Minnesota Education Curriculum, mm-hmm. on our old computer. Mm-hmm.
You know, one subject that might work for a forum, I'm not sure it would be very good here, but I wonder about what, you know,
what is the point of education? What do people really want from education? We teach them to read, we teach them to write. I worry about businesses' interest in our end product. I think, you know, schools ought to be the one time that it's a little bit more of a chance to learn things that perhaps aren't applicable to a business using directly for the purposes. There ought to be a time when you're free to look at all kinds of options that maybe aren't going to pay off, but that people are very concerned. There's a wonderful article in Atlantic Monthly about the computer and how inappropriate it is for young children, but that we're all going to have four computers in our room anyway, and the business community is really talking about, Clinton's talking about, you know, we want these kids educated so they can be good workers. I mean, that's not the only point of being educated, for sure.
But, you know, originally that's why schools started.
Yes.
Other schools was to, I don't know if you've seen the history, but out of 100% of kids, 20% were throwaway automatically. This is in the research. And then there's the drones, and then there's the leaders, and then there's, you know, the top.
Well, we also need people who are pretty civically minded and can look at the media and look at what's happening to us and say whether it's the thing that we want to have happen to our society or not. Those will make you good business people.
Yeah, and a lot of people I talk to want kids with imagination. They get kids out of the college that all they can do is push buttons,
right.
Push buttons and click.
Right.
And they can't, they can't problem solve. Right.
I'm at the college level, and we have nursing students who a lot of the prerequisite kind of courses, but our whole focus is critical thinking and clinical judgment based on critical thinking. And so those who have come from school systems where learning has been a focus are leagues ahead, and some of them never get there. You know, some of them really never are able to realize their dream of being a nurse because they're still in black and white, and that the gray doesn't happen, and that's really painful.
Can you say that differently from me? Learning has been the focus as opposed to what?
Well, I don't know. I just know
processes rather than facts.
Yeah.
Learning
how to
learn. Bring things together.
Learning how to learn. Even if you don't, I mean, I would say you will never ever know it all as a nurse.
Right.
But to be able to learn and learning how to learn is crucial, and learning how to use your resources is probably the most significant factor for any professional.
Yeah. When people ask me what I teach, what I want to say is I teach kids. And history is just my, the title they give me that I try to teach kids using
research. But you know, that brings up a whole other piece, and I don't know where it belongs and whether we even have time to talk about it, but are we as parents putting too much responsibility, expecting too much from the public schools? Where does our job as parents? I mean, are we saying, you guys teach my kid how to learn, please?
Right.
We have that our job?
Right. Right. We have to. Yeah. Right. We have to compliment that.
That's
too.
Right.
And
exactly.
I see a lot of parents expecting.
It's kind of like, why aren't you doing this for
right.
my kid?
That's where the nurturing part comes.
Yeah.
Right. So all it takes
is
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You
got it.
You can open it.
That's a good point. And one reason I like teaching, hopefully teach second grade, is like if more parents are still in love teaching in the classroom. The parents think after third grade they don't need to help in the kids' classrooms. And we need to teach parents that if they have the time, and talk to people at workplaces to see if they can have their parents come in at least one half hour, an hour a week, gives that student so much. Even David, knowing that you're there, you know he hates having you there, it means everything that you're there.
Yeah.
You have no idea how much those kids miss you guys. We see them much more than you do. We can call mom and dad all the time.
Yeah, the biggest change I saw in a student this year, his mother came in and sat with him in every class every day for one day. It was just a hoot. And she left with a whole different impression of the school. And she came with, she became our biggest supporter. Her son turned it around right away. We had email addresses, except my email was always down. It was great. Before we go, the teacher's design, inclusion to mainstreaming one, I'll take care of that one. I'll get that one posted. The resources one for parents I would like help with. If there are any teachers in particular you want to come and help me with that one? Can we do that? What is your name again?
Mary Arneson.
See, now I got your name down.
A-R-N-E-S-O-N.
And anybody else that, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot here, on vacation. The two of us can do this. If there's anybody else that wants to be involved, then give me your name. If not, then just come to the meeting or go hiking. That's what I would do. It's a nice day.
It's too hot.
It's too hot. Okay, Mary and I will handle that one. I'll talk to the...
I can speak to some of the advocacy issues and things to do and not do, but I don't know as teachers if you want to hear what I can
Yes. Yes, the only way that the system works in my building is for us to work as a team. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works best, every time.
Yep. Oh, I think so. So
I'm all for it. What is your name, too?
Denny, D-E-N-N-I, K-J-O-S.
Okay, and then the three of us will kind of just, I don't think we need to even plan stuff. We can just get together and we're there. We've kind of got the resources here. The responsibilities of public schools and purpose of education.
That could be a forum.
That could be like a forum talk.
Forum, yeah, there we go.
What's the point of all this education? That sounds a little more, the other thing sounds too boring.
Okay. Come on, I'm a teacher, it's supposed to be boring.
What is the next session?
Mine is for 3:45 tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
They've got them posted on the board under my name and education with nothing else. And later in the week, one last thing before you go. I know Sonia's doing a lot with the developmental assets out of the Search Institute. I've got some inside information there from my brother-in-law. I've got the little questionnaire thing with the 40 different assets on it. If later in the week people are interested in a discussion on that, we could probably put something together with that too.